Seriously, Pom Pom, I'm about to pee my pants.
I left early Friday morning, unbelievably excited. I hadn't slept much the night before, probably a combination of excitement and chocolate bars. I listened to Verdi's Requiem on a plane and drank two cups of coffee that Atlanta Air offered me. It was a most pleasant trip. When I arrived in Milan, I didn't really know what the heck I needed to do. I looked up how to get to the train station so I could take a train to Venice, but things just weren't apparent. My trip was thrown together, as I think it will be obvious to anyone who hears about it, pretty haphazardly and unthoughtfully. I knew what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. I just hadn't done my research or my planning nearly well enough. I had been nervous about it, but decided that it would work itself out in the end anyhow, for a few days approaching. My deeply anal nature rebelled against my go-with-the-flow design for this trip, and when I didn't know right away what I was supposed to do to find my train to Venice, to the airport, I started to freak out a little bit. It's, of course, unnecessary to freak out about anything at an airport, especially one in Italy, where, if nothing else, they're used to dealing with tourists. I simply asked somewhere how to get on a train to Venice and was pointed in the direction of the bus to take me to the center of Milan, right to the train station. That was easy. From Milan, I got a train to Venice within an hour. I was sorry not to see the cathedral in Milan, but it was entirely worth the extra hours in Venice. The train ride was pretty pleasant, although I almost incurred the wrath of the Italian Ministry of Transportation for not properly validating my ticket and sitting in a reserved seat, though no one ever asked me to move. But I made it without fines or annoyance. Only a great view of northern Italy on a beautiful spring day. Venice is unreal. I mean, it's real, but it seems like it shouldn't be. It's like Disneyland, except less contrived. The place is amazing and magical because it actually is amazing and magical, not because a wealthy filmmaker had a good idea 50 years ago. But, like Disneyland, it's flooded with people who want to experience the same things I do, only most of them are couples, so maybe they don't exactly want the same thing I do. But anyhow, Venice is great. I got completely lost trying to find my hostel, which I had, in one of those wise steps I took in preparation for my trips, booked ahead of time. It was a nice hostel, away from the center of Venice, on an island which, theoretically, cost a 6 euro boat ride to get to. I found this to be outrageous and only heeding the recommendation of the boat driver, paid for only two of the six rides I took while I was there. But Venice, well, the pictures don't do it justice, and I can't describe to you the sights, so I'll talk about the food and probably the churches too. For dinner, I went to a little place, an especially tiny alleyway off the beaten path. There was a lot of Italians there getting drinks, but I sat down at an outdoor table and ordered a cappuccino and a salmon crepe with zucchini sauce. It was, without question, the most delicious crepe I've eaten in my entire life. It was at this moment that I knew that Italy was a place for me. Not only are the people here beautiful, my gosh, the women are so lovely. The sights, and in particular the churches, and the weather, but the food is better than I had imagined. And if you know me, you know that my expectations are pretty high. So yes, the dinner was amazing. Then there's gelato. Not only is gelato cheap, even in expensive and touristy Venice, it's also fresh and perfect, I had hazelnut and raspberry gelato while watching the sunset over the water near a classical guitar street performer playing selections from Puccini's La Bohème. The next morning, I was sure to get up early, check out of my hostel, and go see the Church of San Marco. It's an amazing building, both inside and out, and the line wasn't as bad as I had expected. It's hard to worship there, knowing as I do so much of the artwork and sculpture are things stolen in the Crusades by a greedy city-state from a dying Eastern Orthodox Empire. In fact, over my whole time in Venice, I see most of the beauty as being sad, misdirected beauty. The riches and the extravagance of this old, wonderful city were acquired and spent for the sake of glorifying people, but takes the form of pretending to glorify God. The way I see it, nothing about the Fourth Crusade had the intention of glorifying God. Nonetheless, Venice is worth seeing, and soon, since every year the Piazza San Marco floods more and more. I got on a train at 11 a.m. to go to Rome, with a six-hour stop in Ravenna on the way. Ravenna is not really the normal place to stop on the way to Rome from Venice. Usually, that would be Florence, since it's more important historically and probably more beautiful. It's also on the way. But I'm a little bit of a nerd, and this is a pilgrimage after all, so I wanted to see 5th and 6th century churches that litter the ancient western capital city. It's so lovely, Ravenna. Each church is more impressive than I thought. Also, they are preserved as places of worship. San Vitale is, of course, the best, which is famous for its gigantic mosaics of three different depictions of Christ, the stories from the Old Testament and images of Justinian and Theodore offering the riches of the Roman Empire to heaven. Now, if they'd read the Bible a bit more carefully, maybe they would have found a better way to offer the riches of the empire to heaven than to build such an expensive church, but that's okay. It's an incredible church anyhow. So I hopped on the last train to Rome from Ravenna, arrogantly tempting fate by not having any plans of a place to stay. This arrogance came to fruition in the only way it could. I slept, or rather, sat up too afraid to sleep, overnight near St. Peter's Square all night after searching in vain for 4 hours for a hotel with a room. This might sound exciting or cool, but I assure you, it's cold and it's embarrassing, and it's generally stupid to do such things. When in Rome, make sure you have a hotel reservation. But my overnight proximity to the Vatican was not a random choice. I happened to watch the sunrise over the geographic center of Roman Catholicism and got a fantastic place in line of thousands of pilgrims to go to Mass with the Pope. I got very lucky in standing near an amazing, kind priest who spoke like five languages, Father Ivan. He gave me and a German man I'd met sleeping overnight outdoors tickets to get into Mass, which area free but required, something that a lot of us didn't know. Mass was beautiful and long. Pope Benedict ordained 22 new priests, which was cool to see. Now, I might not have mentioned this, but my prayer intention I had set out on my pilgrimage to Italy was, I decided, my vocation, whatever that means. I had been unaware until it was announced at Mass on Sunday by the Pope himself that the weekend had been dedicated as an international time of prayer for vocations to Catholics' religious life. He then proceeded to ordain 22 young men as priests. This freaks me out a little bit, but whatever. I guess faith is a pretty freaky thing. I walked around Rome, unsure still of where I would stay that night, too, for a few hours, but eventually got a hold of my friend and hero, the one and only Ellie Yee from Amherst, who is studying in Rome for this semester. She'd been out of town, as I had expected, the night before, but offered me a bed to sleep in her place and was amazingly warm personality for the remainder of the trip. I got darn lucky. At this point, I stopped being stressed and really, truly began to appreciate one of the most spectacular places in the world. Rome, even though it's crawling with tourists, is so old and so beautiful and so friendly that even an awful and nearly non-existent previous night's sleep couldn't keep me from enjoying it thoroughly. I walked and walked and loved it all. The forum, the little alleys, the Colosseum, the amazing calzone and more cappuccino, the scusis and grazies, and most of all, I enjoyed St. Lateran's Cathedral. It's off the beaten path, but a church with all the beauty of San Marco and Venice, and all the quiet, spiritual joy of St. Peter's, except way fewer people. I highly recommend visiting this church if you're in Rome. After that, I made my way to Ellie's. She and her flatmate made dinner for me and put me to bed. She's wonderful, if any ever asks. The next day, I went to the Vatican museums, including the Sistine Chapel, which were, to my surprise, well worth a three-hour wait. After her class, Ellie met with me for lunch at this great little place near the Vatican. I had wine and beer and amazing spaghetti and tomato and bacon sauce. We got some gelato and went to look at more secular sites and just enjoy the city. I left the next morning, having never visited Santa Maria Maggiore, the third ancient church I had planned on seeing, knowing that I'd be back in Italy someday to see it.